Our scripture lesson this morning comes out of the first chapter of John's Gospel. I will begin reading at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made, and without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It's the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of life's greatest blessings is hope. Mr. Webster says that hope is an optimistic state of mind based on the expectation of positive outcomes. These outcomes can be seen in events and in circumstances within our lives and within the life of the world as well. Hope means to believe. It means to trust. It means to look for, to wait for, desire something or someone, to expect something beneficial in the future. Unfortunately, sometimes hope seems to be in little supply. As Alexander the Great was starting his conquest of Asia, he inquired into the financial situation of all of the men in his army. He wanted to ensure that while they were fighting, they would not be troubled by financial difficulties that their families might face during their absence. And so he distributed his revenue among them, disposing of nearly all of the personal income that the king had. Now, the head of the army, General Percades, asked him what he had reserved for himself, and he answered, hope. In that case, said Percades, we who share in your labors will also take part in your hope. He then refused the financial offering, as did many of the others in the army. Hope. Hope. A man attended a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he got there late, and he asked one of the boys in the dugout, what's the score? The little boy said, 18-0. And we're behind. The man said, I bet you're discouraged. The little boy said, why should we? We hadn't even come up to bat yet. Hope. A man who was sentenced to death obtained a reprieve by assuring the king that he would teach his majesty's horse how to fly within a year, on condition that if he did not succeed, he would then be put to death. Someone said, how in the world could you do that? He said, well, within a year, the king may die. I may die. The horse may die. Or who knows? Maybe that horse will learn how to fly. Hope. Alexander Pope once wrote, hope springs eternal in the human heart. Man never is, but always to be blessed. Hope. But let me ask you a question. What do you do when hope runs out? How do you handle it if it dries up? G.K. Chesterton once wrote, to truly hope, means hoping when things are hopeless. If not, hope is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is just flattery or platitude. It's only when everything is or seems hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. Hope. It's an optimistic state of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes. The director of a medical clinic told a story one day about a terminally ill young man who came in to receive his monthly treatment. A new doctor who was on duty said to the young man casually and cruelly, "You know, don't you? You won't live out the year." That's what I call bedside manner. As the man left the clinic that day, he stopped by the director's desk and wept. "That doctor took away my hope," he blurted out. "I guess he did," replied the director. "So maybe it's time to find new hope." Commenting on this story, Lewis Smedes wrote, "Is there any hope when hope is gone? Is there hope when the situation is hopeless? Is there?" My answer is an emphatic yes. For you see, the answer to that question is found in Christian hope. Hope in Jesus Christ, a living hope that's based on His resurrection, the promises of God, and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Christian hope is not just a simple wish or a projection. It's a reality that shapes our lives and our actions. Christian hope is confidence in and assurance that God will fulfill His plan in our lives and in our world. I don't have to tell you, it's a well-known fact. Life has its storms. It's not always a smooth ride, an easy ride across a flat plateau. Life gets bumpy sometimes. There are mountains and valleys. Oftentimes things just don't go the way we want them to go. Sometimes the storms of life are raging all around us, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed, burdened, crushed. Sometimes we just have to hang on. Sometimes we have to row against the wind. But we have hope because we have Him. In the 14th chapter of Mark, we find an amazing story that deals with frustration and helplessness. But it reminds us that in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty, Jesus comes to us in powerful and dramatic ways. He brings help and strength and peace and confidence and victory. Remember the story with me. It's one of the most fascinating in all of Scripture. It comes on the heels of one of Jesus' greatest miracles. He has just fed 5,000 men with five loaves of bread and two fish. And that doesn't count the women and the children. And when he got through, there were 12 baskets full of bread and fish left over. Anybody want to go to that picnic? Don't you think that would be a lot of fun? Just a little bit that the Lord takes and multiplies it. Afterward, he sent the crowd away. Their bodies had been satisfied. Now he must feed himself. Not food for the body, but food for his spirit. Food to sustain him. And so he sends his disciples ahead of him across the Sea of Galilee by boat while he goes up into the mountains to pray, to ask God to recharge his spiritual battery, his spiritual life, to renew his strength. It won't be long until he'll be offering himself for you and me. First of all, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then on Calvary's cross. And so his disciples, at least half of them, fishermen, they've been out on the lake many, many times, and a storm comes up. Seems like we've had some stormy weather around here lately. I've got a nephew graduating from high school this afternoon. It's Hal's son. And yesterday we were going up for a party that was held for Evan for his graduation. And we got off of 65, onto 565, heading into Huntsville. And it was raining so hard that I could barely see other cars on the road. Put our flashers on, we're just creeping along. And it's storming. Well, the disciples were out on the sea and it was storming. The winds were blowing and the lightning was flashing and the thunder was crashing and the rain was coming down and the boat was being tossed to and from and to and fro, and they had used all of the skill that they had to try to deal with the situation. And they were terrified. And they began to cry out to Jesus. And somehow, some way, that cry penetrated that storm. And he heard them. And he came to them. He walked across the water. I think we can all identify with their plight. We can relate. We know what it's like to be in the midst of the storm. All around us, the pressures, the stresses of life are pressing in against us. And Jesus just doesn't seem to be anywhere to be seen. Why did he send us out here alone? Where is he? Anyway, doesn't he know we need him? And so he saw their dilemma. He was aware of their plight. And he came walking on top of the water through the wind and the storm and the danger and the chaos to where they were. That's the way he comes to us sometimes. Often when we least expect him. Always when we need him most. He comes. He comes in the dead of night. He comes in the thick of the storm when it's most dark, when it's most tumultuous. He's there. And he's not only there, he's on top of it. So that night, in the midst of the darkness, he came. At first, they were afraid, they were frightened at this apparition that was coming toward them. And then they realized who it was, and Peter, the impetuous one always, said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and he started walking toward Jesus. Can you imagine? Walking toward Jesus on top of the storm. But suddenly he realized where he was. And he looked down. instead of staying locked in on Jesus. And what happened? Pew, down he went. And so they had to fish him out of the deep. Then Jesus got in the boat, spoke a word, and the storm subsided. The wind stopped, and it became calm. In that moment, when Peter trusted him and stepped out of the boat in faith, he trusted Jesus. And so can we. He took Jesus by faith, and Jesus helped him and sustained him and protected him. We too can trust him, and he'll help us as well. We can cast our burdens on him. We can know that he will sustain us. We can keep on rowing against the wind. We will know that he will come to save us, because we know who he is. John tells us very clearly that Jesus is the Word. That he is God. That in the beginning, when there was nothing else but God, he was. In him was life. And that life of God is the light of the world. And darkness doesn't have a chance against him. There are a lot of storms raging today. And the darkness is all around us. But we can be filled with hope because Jesus is our Savior, our salvation, our Lord, our light. When Robert Louis Stevenson was a little boy, he was sitting by a window in his bedroom one night, watching the lamp lighter down below lighting the street lights. Had a torch in his hand, and he would go from lantern to lantern to lantern lighting the lamps. His nurse came in to his bedroom and asked him what he was doing, and he said, "I'm watching a man punch holes in the darkness." You remember that old Chinese proverb? It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. I want to tell you, I have hope this morning, because God is with us. He is our Redeemer who wants to save us from our sins. He is our light who shines in the darkness. He is our great physician who heals us where we hurt. He is our good shepherd who wants to welcome us into his flock. He is. I don't have to tell you that things are rapidly changing in our world. We're in the midst of hard times in our country right now. I don't know if we've been so divided since the Civil War. Our denomination is going through change that I don't think any of us ever expected. Our local church here at Grace Point is changing. In our families and in our individual lives, things are changing. Brenda first went to see Dr. Mendelson, my cardiologist, about 15, 20 years ago. And whenever she would go to see him, I'd go with her, and I would just sit there in the examining room and listen, as watch as he checked her out and listened to what he had to say. But I'm always on the other side of the room. I'm so fortunate I got to live 78 years of my life before I ever had to see a cardiologist. I went just a couple of months after Brenda went home last February. And I remember sitting there realizing that I'm now on the other side of the room. It's a little different. On the other side of the room. And now I'm facing tomorrow what many of you here today have already faced. And that's a heart cath. And perhaps a stent or a balloon, medication, something else. I don't know. I've always been the comfort giver. And now I'm going to be the comfort receiver. And I thank you for your care, and I thank you for your prayers, and ask you to continue to remember me. As we, as individuals and families and a local church and a denomination and a country and a world, look to Jesus. And I promise you something. When we do, He will light up our lives. And that's the promise of hope upon which we can stand with confidence. I shared a word with you earlier about my favorite singer from the 60s and 70s, Andre Crouch. He wrote lots of songs, but I want to close with another one of his. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I did not know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. And there are times that I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. And so that's the reason I say, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His name. And so I thank God for the mountains. And I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the storms. He's brought me through. For you see, if I'd never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in his word could do. And that's the reason I say that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Let me tell you that through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Through it all, would you sing with me? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word.